Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's on way, and we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord Jesus Christ is long-suffering. And we are thankful for that, every time we have another day of grace, it extends as a grace. And where grace abounds, where sin abounds, what happens? Grace much more abounds. So we are thankful for that. We're singing number 26 this morning. If you have your book, number 26. We only have three, but it has four. The choir's going to sing four. So we'll sing number one again. Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, His child and forever I am. You guys have to help me on that one. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know what the light of His presence with me do abundantly well. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. A little better. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing and I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Amen. One of these days we're going to be redeemed out of this old body, and we're going to get a glorious body like fashioned to His body. And, you know, that's what we need right now. You know, I look out amongst you smiling faces and see that we need to be redeemed. You know, I'm not. You look beautiful to me this morning, God. I'm just saying, okay? This is lesson 42, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Starting verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. Notice, God blesses Noah's and his boys, right? And He said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, where did you read that before? Genesis chapter 1. That's where exactly where it's at. And that's what He told Adam in Genesis chapter 1. When He set Adam on this earth, Adam was to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. And he's supposed to rule and go out and rule over the whole earth. Now, what you have now, as Noah steps out onto earth, he steps in him and his family, him and his wife and three boys and his wife, they are at a new beginning. And God begins all over again, a new heaven, a new earth, if you will. Not a new creation, but a new order in the heaven and earth, and everything has changed from the way it was in the past. The climate, the atmosphere, and all kinds of things like that. And you're at the beginning again, with another situation, another garden scene. if you will. Another situation where it's just one man, one monarch, and the crown is given back to Noah. And Noah is the new monarch on this earth. Verse 2, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the earth, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, until your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." Now, when he says even the green herb, what do you know about Adam? Adam was a vegetarian. His the vegetation and stuff was meat for him. But now what does he say? God institutes a new dietary order here. So there are some changes. If it is a new earth, there are new regulations for the way that things are going to function. Their diet changes from the diet of Genesis chapter 1. And this is a very, very, very big dispensational change. Because we always say that God never changes, amen? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. But the way he dealt with man's changes. He told Adam, these trees and stuff are for meat. He tells Noah what? You can catch it, you can eat it. If Moses comes along clean and unclean. Paul comes along, give all things, thanks to all things, eat in moderation. So did God change? No, he didn't change. The diet changes and that type of thing. But the point is, what he's going to do with Noah is to institute a new divine institution of establishment, and this issue is human government. And God makes the animals afraid of him, don't he? So one, they won't kill man. If an animal's afraid of you, what's it going to do? He's going to run from you until you pin him up, right? Now, I'm not telling you go after, you know, hunting grizzly bears, because you know what they will do. They'll run so long. I mean, you will run so long, but then you get in a corner. Two, man won't be able to kill them without working for it. They're not just going to be right there in front of them to grab up and go. Any of you ever been trout fishing? You have to work for it. Any of you have been fishing, you know, usually trout fishing up in them streams, and you have to walk to get to them. And, you know, some of them's down in these gorges, and you go down through there, and you got to go like this. Trout's very, very smart. You know, you can go to hatcheries. You can go to these fish ponds, pay to fish, that type of thing, and you catch all day. That ain't much work. That's why a lot of people don't like to fish. There's work to it. Now, you might not think there's work to it, but what they say, a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work or something like that. But anyway, you can eat the animals now, he says. There's a change. The animals are going to eat each other, and you can eat them. And the animals are going to be afraid of you, so they don't eat you. Not only will they be afraid of you, it's going to be harder for you to catch them and kill them. In other words, to protect them too. It'd be like pinning them up in a reservation out there and just going, you know, going hunting, that type of thing. There's a lot of people deer hunt, don't they? And they do it for a season, and they do it for a reason. It's to protect things. Verse 5. "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you will be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein." Now, the passage that we just looked at is a basic institution of human government. Human government is emphasized in verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You know what that is? That's capital punishment right there. That's capital punishment. It's the divine institution by God. In Numbers 35, the avenger of blood is established. In Acts chapter 25, verse 11, Paul says this, "If I have done anything that I'm guilty of dying for, kill me. I'm ready to die." And he didn't stand up and bellyache about capital punishment, if you really think about that. You know why? He just said, "I'm innocent and I don't deserve to die." But what did he say? If I'm guilty of dying for, kill me. I'm ready to die. Paul understood capital punishment. Capital punishment is very, very basic in this passage. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And many of you know what capital punishment. There's capital punishment and there's corporate punishment. You know the difference, right? Yeah. I think Brother Howard back there and the elementary students that he had, if he brought capital punishment on there, he wouldn't have too many students there, would he? But he had corporate punishment. And once you have corporate punishment, it's a lesser degree. You know, spank your hand or sit in a corner or, you know, write, "I will not do that 500 times on a chalkboard," and all that stuff. And then when you got home, the capital punishment came. Now, capital punishment is very, very important. But come in Romans 13 and notice why that is. The fourth institution of human government you will see in Genesis chapter 9, human government is established, okay? In Genesis chapter 10 is established in such a way it will identify nationalism. In Genesis chapter 11, internationalism is developed, and it's a satanic plot to destroy the institutions of nationalism. You know, we was talking earlier about nationalism, and in today's society, that seems to be a bad word, don't it? But you know, if you think about internationalism, everybody thinks that's a good word. But nationalism is a basic institution and is designed for the protection of the rights and privacy and freedoms of those first three institutions. Remember what they are? Please don't forget this. First one is?
Free will.
Thank you. Second one is?
Marriage
between a man and woman. Third is the?
Family.
And this is the fourth institution that God Almighty ordained. And it protects the rights. And it's clear that you can't have volition. You can't have marriage. You can't have a family just willy-nilly, if you will, without protection, without any protection. They're going to go crazy out there. They're going to go wild. Look at what we're at in the last 25, 30, 40 years. We've gone wild in our country. Because if you do that without a social protection involved, what happens is when you read, what we find out in Genesis chapter 4, 5, 6, what was going on? Everybody was protected. The government was protecting everybody's rights. And, you know, the marriage was protected. And there was godly people going out through all the world. And Noah built an ark just to stay in that situation, right?
No.
The fact is, it was ungodliness going on there. And there was no government structure set up to protect those institutions. What did God say about the heart, the imaginary heart? It was evilly continually. And you come to a place of violence filling the earth. That's what happened in Genesis 4, 5, and 6. So this is a need of a social structure, a God institute of human government. I share this with people all the time. I say, listen, the government is set up, God ordained this government out there. Not the people who's running it. He ordained it to protect everybody's rights. And if I don't, you have to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. Deaf, dumb, and all that stuff, and crazy, to understand that the government that's out there in the world today don't care about your family. They don't care about your marriage. And they're getting ready to take your free will away. You can't say what? You know, you say some stuff that you grow up with today. My kids sometimes say, "Dad, you can't say that. You can't say that."
You know, you can't call nobody fat anymore. There's a law in Colorado that's on the books that you're fat. I'll call them healthy. You know, I'm healthy, you know, that type of thing. But the thing is, you can't, because it offends people. You know, you can't give a trophy out anymore without giving 15 other trophies to people because it hurts their feelings. You know, that type of thing. Enough's enough. Let's get together who we are in Christ Jesus and stand who we are and proclaim what He has today. He instituted a certain type of human government here. It's called nationalism. That's not a bad word. Look it up. He divides the families up into national entities. He does that to propitiate a human race and to protect the other three. The orderly maintenance and function of those three institutions. And if people will understand that today that the government, if we just be on the basis of God-ordained institution, this place would be awesome. You wouldn't have to worry about your family. You wouldn't have to worry. Well, you would worry about it, but I'm talking about they would be protected. I can't say that enough. The adherence of sound doctrine by the maximum number of people in a national entity guarantees freedom and privacy and liberty necessary for proper functioning of the first three institutes. If you've got a godly government, they're going to protect those things. And you know what? You don't have to worry about it. But we do have to worry about it in today's society. It furnishes protection for those things. Look at Romans chapter 13. Notice that the issue of capital punishment really being the issue of human government, it's supreme. Okay? And the establishment of capital punishment, that's what we found out over in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, is the essence and establishment of government authority to the maximum. Because if you have a capital punishment, guess what it's going to do? Exactly. If you know, if I might be getting ahead of myself, let me double check. If I do, I'll say it again. The fact that over here in the Millennium Kingdom, if you break the law, you know where you're going? Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So what happens if you know what happens? You're driving speed limit 70 miles an hour, you're doing 70. He pulls you over. But I'm only doing 3 miles over. I heard that you gave me this. I don't give you nothing. You took it. Here's your ticket. And if they put you in jail for that, guess what you're going to do? People see how harsh this punishment is going to be. Guess what you're going to be doing? 69, 68, 65. You know, that's why the CBs was big back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. You know, hey, where's that bear at? You got a bear. You know, 25-mile marker he's catching. Normally, before you see him, he's done got you. And when you hit your tail brakes, guilty. Guilty. But they have to have a reason to pull you over. You know that, don't you? And you just gave them one when you hit them brakes. And what kills me is when they walk up and say, do you know why I pulled you over? Don't say, I don't know, officer. You just insulted him. Just say, was I speeding? Was I doing 65 and a 55? Yeah. It goes a lot easier. It really does. But this situation, you're not going to get your head cut off or anything. But anyway, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. That's a government authorities, okay? There is no power but of who? God. The powers that are ordained of who? God. God is the one who sets the system of rank and authority up. God is the one who institutes the issue of human government and national government. God does it. Now, is it a big G or a little G there? That means something. It's not the little G of the worlds that's setting it up. It's the big G that set it up. Whosoever, verse 2, therefore resist the power, that's the authority in the government, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not of the terror of good works, but what? But to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, it's tough out there, isn't it? It's tough out there knowing that they're coming down and they're creating this and creating that, and it seems like they don't get bothered with it. It's tough. But what should you do? Do that is good. You know, don't get involved in that stuff as far as breaking that, all that. For he, the man who is administrating the government authority, is the minister of who? God. It is a divine institution, and it's something that God has established to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. The ruler's purpose is to put down evil works, to establish just laws, and to see that skillfully administered and so forth. That's what he's supposed to do. And the issue of human government finds its basic is the issue of capital punishment. I need to take a breath. I'm getting lightheaded up here. National entities, okay? Human government is established by God. Is that water?
Sure.
I got coffee in the truck. Thank you. It's established by God. It was established by God with who?
Noah.
That's right, with Noah. Go back to Genesis chapter 9. Notice how that it's not just any kind of human government. It is a national entity. He established it and he tells Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. And you be ye fruitful and multiply. Take these things and go out all over the earth with them. Okay? Chapter 10, verse 1 says, Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem and Ham and Jacob. And unto them they were sons born after the flood. Verse 5 says, But these are the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. See that in chapter 10, verse 5? In their nations. Now the sons of Japheth, that's verses 2 through 5, are divided out into the earth and established national entities. Chapter 10, verse 20 says, And these sons of Ham, and their after their families, after their tongues, and their countries, and in their nations. 31, And the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and their lands, after their nations. Verse 32, And these are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Nations, nations, nations. That's God's institution out there to establish nationalism. Okay? He didn't say go out there and replenish the earth and stay under one roof. Notice what Paul says in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. That's right. Acts chapter 17. A lot of stuff's going on there. You have The Berean church started. The Thessalonians church started. He's preaching in Rome. He's preaching at Thessalonica. He's preaching at Berea. He's preaching at Athens. And he gets over here to Acts 17, verse 24. And he says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is a Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with what? Hands. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breadeth in all things. You know, look at that one more time. Neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needeth anything. What do these churches try to do? We got to give this to God. We got to bring this to God. He needs this. What does that say? As they know he needed anything. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. Notice, how many nations?
All.
Of men. It doesn't say races of men. It says all nations of men. For to dwell on all the face of the earth and have determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their inhabitation. Why did he do this? Why did he determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation? Why did he establish the nations of men? He did it. He set these people in national entities and set geographic boundaries around their inhabitation. He did it for a reason. Look at verse 27. That they shall seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Think about that for a second. God said he made one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And God had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation. God has divided them into nations, national entities with boundaries around them. The reason he did it is in verse 27. Notice it carefully. The purpose, the intent, that they shall seek after the Lord and be able to what? Find him. If you want men to be able to find God, you have to recognize and uphold nationalism. If you want to cause men not to be able to find God, what do you do? Or promote internationalism. That's what's happening out there. You can't do that. You won't find the God of the Bible. You won't find God to creation. That's why very, very important to know that when people talk about God, first thing I think about, which God you're talking about? A lot of people say, you know what God I'm talking about. Well, tell me which one you're talking about. Well, I believe in God. The devils and his angels believe in God, and they tremble. You know, we looked at many times Pharaoh and stuff like that, the ten plagues was against 10 gods of Egypt. And they didn't disappear, by the way. Greeks had them. Romans had them. We have them. You know, brother talking about in a state capitol in one of the Midwest states, they put up a goat head. And, you know, that's usually a symbol of Satanism. They did the same thing in Arkansas, by the way. You know, to sit it out there in front of the state capitol, what are you going to do about it? I guarantee you they're not going to mark them. They're not going to take them down. They're not going to tear them down, you know, destroy them type of thing. They're going to promote that type of stuff. That's internationalism. That's what, go to Genesis chapter 11, when you think about this. Go to Genesis chapter 11. We need to think about what our direction is, literally. because in your home, your first ministry is to your home. That's your first ministry. Then you have local ministries. That's the pillar and ground of truth. Then you have state ministries and so on, so forth, so on. We can't form a boundary and have our own nationalism. You know what I mean? We're part of a country. Well, if you don't mind me saying, the United States of America was built with boundaries. And my understanding in 1808, the federal government decided that they would take care of the boundaries of the federal land, you know, federal boundaries. So that took it off the states. That's why, if you think what's going on in the world today, federal government's building this, and the states are sitting there like, we need help. We need help. They're trying to obey by what the Constitution says, okay? But at the same time, you got states saying, listen, every state's got a boundary. And I'm looking at these old maps. I'm part of these Appalachia places and the history of Ohio and places like that. If you actually seen the original charter of Virginia, you're in Virginia right now. That's Virginia stretched way over here, you know. And during the war between the states, there's one state got divided up, and it was West Virginia. That's the only state of all the states was created during the war between the states. They had boundaries, guys. That's what I'm trying to get at. Each state had boundaries, and we still do. And they try to uphold their constitution in this state. You don't want another state to come over here and tell you how to live, do you? No, we have representatives and stuff, and that's why, you know, it's government. God ordained. That's why God ordained government to protect us. And we want to believe every man and woman will do the right things. You know, we tend to do that, but what usually corrupts them? Power of merchandising. Merchandising. Genesis chapter 11, look at verse 1. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, I'm jumping chapter 10, but we're going to get to it. But what did we read earlier that was going on in chapter 10, verses 20, 31, 32? Into their own language, divided their own land. They was doing what God told them to do. Now, all of a sudden, you get to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain of land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime have they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. A 150 years has passed from chapter 10, end of chapter 10 to right here. 150 years, Satan and his crew convinced Noah and all his boys to come back and live under this situation. They built a Tower of Babel. Their purpose in building the city is the same purpose Cain was when he built the first city. Remember what happened there? Well, who was Cain again? The way of Cain? What was he? Not only a murderer, but he was a rebel. He was a rebellious. He rebelled against God. God said to go out and fill the earth and spread out and multiply and fill it up. And they said, we're going to build a city, lest we be scattered abroad. Exactly the opposite. I don't know if I can get this across to you like it settled my heart and mind. You want to know why people are the way they are? Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. and Romans chapter 1, 2, 3. If you just look at that and say, I know where you're at. I know why you're doing this way. You're just rebelling against God. Our kids are that way sometimes. But they had godly parents. They're kin to me, and they're kin to Adam. We won't be redeemed till we get this body and we understand some things. And what a blessing it is that, you know, you have good kids and stuff. All I'm saying is they're going to do the way that you did. He says, we're going to build a city lest we be scattered abroad. They said, we're going to build a city and a tower that may reach to heaven. We will develop the way to get to heaven without going God's way. Just like who? Cain. The way of Cain. The system here is called internationalism. Divide, destroy, eliminate the boundaries that God has established between the nations in Genesis chapter 10, and therefore make it difficult, if not impossible, for them to happily seek the Lord if they may find Him. So what do? They build big towers, they build big cities and get everybody in there. So we're going to be your God. I saw a picture, I think it was like the 1850s of Manhattan. And I've seen one before that, and it was just trees and a couple of things, you know. And then they showed houses. And I noticed in those pictures, there was towers in there. And then I saw a picture of today, and I saw these massive towers. But those towers that I saw, and I replied to that, I said, those are church steeples. And I don't know if you guys, when you drive around these cities, you don't get as high as I do. I'm in a big truck, you know, so I can look above the Jersey wall and see. And when you're coming in, next time you fly, many of you fly, and you're coming into a city or town, look at the church steeples compared to the man steeples. And see who's got the most power. See who's trying to reach more than what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? I saw that. I'm fascinated with it because I know what man does. Man tries to outdo God. And that's exactly what's going on here. So what you have is volition, marriage, family is the basic structure of society. And nationalism is established the fourth institution. And you watch man's, you know, building a church. There's nothing wrong with building churches. You know, we're building churches. We've been building churches for 20 years here. You know, we don't have no steeple. We don't, you know, that type of thing. But the thing is, you have to do it what God's doing. And nationalism has established that. Nationalism is designed to provide framework in which those three can fully function. Nationalism is a basic for protection externally and internally for those three institutions. Externally, protection is through military protection and military victories. There is no excuse in the Word of God for any type of military activity except with the purpose of victory. You look what Israel, he got at Israel, victory. Victory, victory. When they wasn't doing it, loss, loss, loss. He tells them to go in that promised land, destroy everything. Under every green tree, over every mound, every pictures. Imagine some of the pictures that you know, see on walls, art, ungodliness. Get rid of it. Burn it. And internal protection is had through the proper enforcement and administration of the laws. Just laws with skillful administration is absolutely necessary in the functioning of a nation. Capital punishment, that was mentioned. Our country is one of the few countries in the world left that uses capital punishment. But you know what? The reason is a force today is that the principle is wrong. They won't hardly kill anybody anymore for capital punishment. You know that? They lock them away and put them away and feed them and all that stuff. And now, you know, they do these, I guess, when they do the drug thing, oh, that's too cruel. You know, if you line somebody up in a firing squad for murder and shoot them and show it on live TV, guess what this would do? Yes, sir. Those countries over there in the Middle East, they cut your head off in front of people. And it's supposed to stop murder, and usually it does. It stops for a while. And it's because it's not the execution. It is because it's not executed justly and skillfully. And only a small percent of really gets this. There's a group of people out there will just go out of their minds worrying about, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, that's the reason why we're at right now. Think about the Millennium Kingdom. In the Millennium Kingdom, one sin, one violation, and man is cast into hell over there. And when they walk around there, Jesus Christ is sitting on that throne in the Millennium Kingdom, and there's a hole right here that goes straight to hell, and they can see old Satan down there. And they come by there every Sabbath going up to worship him. They see that down in there. If you break one law, you're thrown in that pit. Throwed in there. Human government, nationalism designed for protection of the human race on this planet and an orderly functioning of it, and society is built up in such a way that those three institutions are fully functioning and protected. We can't forget about that. We need that. Eternal, external protection, and common laws for the purpose of national entities in Scripture. You know, don't be afraid when you hear this stuff. You know, we need to protect our own country. If you protect your own country the right way, you're going to continue to meet here. You're going to be able to open that Bible whenever you want to on your breaks and stuff like that. You're going to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But there may come a day where you have to go underground, or we have to go underground. The internet broadcasting stuff could be scrambled, cut off, communications shut down. But we still got a book. And you still got a family. You know, and you're going to find us. And we're going to find you. We're going to meet. We're going to get together. Not going to stop us. I remember Brother Bob Barlow going to China. And 10,000 copies of Grace School of Bibles is in China that he brought there. They took all his clothes and stuff, a lot of other stuff, but those DVDs got through. So this message is going out throughout the world, and there's not a person on this continent, on this country, can't hear what you're saying right now. And if you want to see the results of breaking the law and divine establishment with regard to nationalism, in the Bible, who do you look at? The nation Israel. Leviticus chapter 26 gives you five cycles of judgment that finally ends in national destruction when their principles are violated. That five courses of judgment, if you understand what's going on in Israel's program, they're violating nationalism. They're not upholding who they are, and they end up over here. They go into captivity and all that stuff. You know, but Israel was a national entity in the world. That's why on this chart, this top line represents the true nation Israel. And God says, watch my four institutions work perfectly. But of course, who is Israel's daddy? Who's he the son of? Adam. And they didn't do it. But one day they will. And though their national entity with the blessings of God goes out to all the nation. That's not happening right now in the world, guys. Don't forget that. That the purpose of the nation Israel for making it a nation, the national entity who thoroughly and completely and faithfully executes four institutions of God's divine institution. And the blessings will go out throughout the nations of the world. That's why in time past, us Gentiles down here, we could become a part of that nation. You had to believe in the God of Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You had to denounce what you are and become a Jew. That's a religion. But you couldn't be a Hebrew. You had to be born a Hebrew. And that's another thing I get. I listen to a lot of radio, and they keep saying Jew. They will not bring up the fact of a Hebrew. Hebrew is the nationality. Okay? No, Hebrew is the race. Yeah. And that's what all of them came from. That's fighting over there. But this up here is the throne. It's what God is doing, and he eventually will have human government that he established. But don't be so fearful of saying, I'm afraid that we need boundaries. God, you saw it. God gave boundaries for the inhabitants. Why? So they'll seek the Lord. And if we got that protection of the right government protected, you'll be able to worship the way you worship. You know, we've been doing that for 200 years, worshiping the way we worship. Now, many of you know that you might have been worshiped wrong. I'm talking about like through denominations, I guess that's what I mean. Lord, thank you for a day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in. I know you missed our smiling faces and all, but we hope that you'll come visit us. Until next time.